right. I'm the next speaker. I have about a minute before we start, so I'll just slowly introduce myself. I'm Craig Ramsey. I work with the USDA, APHIS in Fort Collins, Colorado. And this study is a grant, a cooperative agreement, the USDA grant, Farm Bill grant, with Dr. Steve Newman in Colorado State University. And we ran this about a year ago. Sorry, I just wanted to watch the time just in case there's anybody coming in. I don't want to get started a little bit too early. All right. If anyone comes in, well, anyways, this is, like I said, a cooperative agreement. We looked at use of ozonated water and ultraviolet light in sanitizing greenhouse water. So, in particular, I have past experience with using ozone. And this is the first time we used ultraviolet light. We tried to marry these two technologies together. Steve Newman was interested in ultraviolet light. But just in general, ozone, we're looking at ozonated water. But I just in general, ozone is what the a compound that's three atoms of oxygen. They can decompose to make free radicals. And the free radicals steal electrons from membranes. Disrupt the cell integrity and membrane functions, basically. UVC light is a non-ionizing ultraviolet radiation. Very specifically, it's 254 nanometer wavelengths. That has just enough energy to hit membranes, cell membranes, maybe create some free radicals. It also, and along with that, it will pass through membranes and disrupt the DNA, the sequence of the coding of the DNA, the four nucleotides in DNA. What we're looking at mostly is, did it create free radicals in water? All this, well, I'll get to many, but we combine these things in water, so it's always a water solution that we're looking at. So we looked at combining these two. There's a couple companies out there now, Silver Bullet, Prozone, that are looking at combining ultraviolet C radiation with ozonated water to, they call the hydroxyl generators. So we're eventually looking at that. And again, when you combine those two, what we're looking at is creating free radicals, and free radicals damage cell membranes, make micropores. Osmotic pressure will burst open the cells of the pathogens. Basically, it's the water. So background again. I work for the USDA APHIS, Fort Collins, Colorado. I've been doing decontamination work since 2011. Mostly it's for equipment, facilities, vehicles, mobile pressure washers. But we did start, since then we've bought a custom-built ozonated water generator. I'll show a picture of that in a moment. Spartan custom-built it for us. And we've run two studies already, but mostly it's soil decontamination. This study, we switched over and tried to decontaminate water from the greenhouses. So one of the things about ultraviolet, I guess took me a while to get used to this, but the radiation is a function of the intensity of the light and also the duration of it. That will affect whether how well it damages the pathogens or kills the pathogens. So there's wavelengths say that the dose and dosage are two different things. The dosage is really in microwatts per second per square centimeter. So that has the time built into it per second. So it's microwatts, again. Or some of the standards, the federal standards, are in milliwatts, which is jumping between the two. Most of my work will be done, I'll be talking about in microwatts. Excuse me. But the Federal Department of Health and Human Services said they wanted to have a minimum exposure of 16 milliwatts. That's 16,000 microwatts per second. So again, it's all exposure. The dose would be the total time it's in there. So you take the second, whatever time it is in seconds to get to that. There are now ultraviolet lamps used in municipal water treatments. They're very high. They're up to 30, 50 milliwatts or 30,000, 50,000 microwatts. We use a very simple 9-watt aquarium ultraviolet light. Had 23 microwatts. That's pretty lightweight. But that's at the moment, that's what we had. We've now know there's much more powerful lights out there. So we looked at a factorial study, four factors. They're fully crossed. We had two water treatment times, 15, 30 minutes. Two water qualities where we had it just pure tap water, and then we added a tenth of a percent of humic acid. That gives it an organic challenge for the ozonated water, so it sort of takes away, most water will be contaminated. The humic acid also is discoloration, so it will interfere with the UVC light. It doesn't, the transparency becomes a problem when you add the humic acid. And then finally, we had a two-stage treatment. So first stage and a second stage. So the first stage only had two things. It was either ozonated water or the UVC light. Third stage, we had no treatment at all. So that means you only had really one treatment. Or we repeated it again with ozonated water and UVC light for the 50 minutes. So we used Bacillus subtilis spores in a water suspension. Basically, we put the spores into 40 mils of water and treated that water. So the spore count was 10 to the 8th CFUs. That's what this, we have a microbiology lab, microchem, prepare this for us. So it's a liquid suspension, fairly high. When we diluted it down into the 40 mils, it came out to be a count of about 1.5 to 10 to the 6th CFUs per mil. The ozonated water in this generator, I'll show you next slide. The maximum it generates goes up about 20 minutes. It'll make about a 24 part per million solution of ozone in the water. It's diffused gas inside of the water. And we also measure the oxidation reduction potential with a portable meter. And maximum it got is 912 millivolts, which if anyone's very familiar, that's fairly high. The standard's usually around 700 millivolts for water sanitation. At least in Germany, I think it's around 700. So this is some photos of our work. That photo is a greenhouse. We're pouring water into the tank. It's a recirculated tank system. It's 37 gallons. We chill the water in a freezer. And then down below is the generator itself. You can see the tubing, the one-inch tubing. The top one shows the generator itself. It has an oxygen concentrator on the far right. The ozone generator is where my hand is turning the dials. It's a bit of a art to work these dials to get the exact right amount of ozone generated, because it's actually pushed in there, actually pulled in there by the pump. The pump pushes it through, so it's just really a suction point, and then it's just getting the right amount of ozone generated so that it goes into the water at the right amount. We're collecting the ozonated water from the tank in the bottom there. It's a real art form. I've done this maybe 10, 15 times, and I'm still learning how to get maximum performance out of the system. It takes a bit. The upper left shows the portable meter for oxidation reduction potential. We measured it over time for when we pulled it first out of the tank all the way up to about 60 minutes later. We measured its temperature and ORP in millivolts. Middle top is the two aquarium UVC lights. They're basically dunked into the tank. They're 9 watts. They're fully covered, so you don't get none of the light. The light's inside there. You pour in the water to those tubes, and the light is direct in contact with the support suspension. The concentrated support suspension there has come from the Microchem lab. It's 10 to the 8th right there. You can, it's very cloudy. Bottom shows the pipettes and pipetting everything into the 40 mils of water. These are two vials, sample vials, a clear vial, and right on the right is the humic acid. You can see the transparency of the water has gone down quite a bit, even at a tenth of a percent. So what we measured was the log 10 reduction of the spores. These were kept refrigerated, so they were spores. They were in vegetative cells, so this is one of the harder, this is the acid test of sanitizing the water. Log 10 reduction is the log of the control counts, CFUs, all over the counts of the treated water. And the Microchem lab did all the assaying for us and gave us the raw numbers. We used JUMP, generalized linear model, to analyze the data. So this is the results in table form. I really want to talk about, first three columns, really. Last two are probabilities of viable spores, is really what we start with. But we made the calculations. So first off, adding humic acid had no effect. So we averaged over that. So the only things that really mattered was exposure time, 15 or 30 minutes, plus the stages. See, the first stage was significant, and second stage. And all the stages are listed on the very first column. The top two rows, one is ozone alone without a second treatment. Second row down is UV light alone, no second treatment. Then the blue ones are the combination ozone and UVC, or UVC, the fourth one is UVC followed by ozonated water. Finally, the last one was UVC applied twice. We dropped out the ozone and ozone because we did not calculate right when we diluted the water. So the bottom line is that ozone alone had a very low log 10 reduction. So the higher the numbers, the better the kill of the spores. And we got a very poor result from ozonated water, even though it's at 24 parts per million, which is fairly high for ozonated water. So these two rows show basically with one treatment, you got it fairly low. The best treatments of all, of course, was the very bottom one, UVC light applied twice, which is 30 minutes first treat stage, 30 minutes second stage, so 60 minutes total. We got a 3.5 log 10 reduction of the spores. What we were looking at is do the combination, marrying the two together, does ozone followed by UVC light create any free radicals and have a better kill? It didn't. We don't know why, but this is part of the new technologies we're looking at. So we did it manually. The new technologies put them all together all at once. So everything, when the new technologies are, they make these systems so it happens all together. The ozonated water is generated. The UVC light is in the same unit. So you get the hydroxyls, free radicals made right in the unit all together at once. So that may make a big difference. Another part of this, we said we looked at the oxidation reduction potential. We looked at it over time. So the left graph shows over the water temperature. Ozonated water is very sensitive to the temperature. As it goes up, the ORP goes down. We start up near 900, drops all the way down to about 100. Everyone's temperature just goes up to like 22 C. It also is degrades or goes back to oxygen gas and water over time. And you can see in the right-hand graph, you have about 40 minutes. We'll stay up somewhere around 900 millivolts. But if you go out to about an hour, you're dropping again. So the two combinations, it really helps to have chilled water when you're working with ozonated water. And you have maybe 20, 30 minutes. This graph just shows the UVC light, the log 10 reduction. The table shows the time, 15, 30, 45, and 60 minutes. We for the log time reduction. This is a graph of it, showing basically it's not linear. It's sort of has a asymptotic curve to it. That log time reduction is just not linear. It slows down. So the longer you go, it doesn't always, you don't get the same bang for the buck. So the best treatments were UVC light, first stage, second stage at 30 minutes with log time reduction of 3.51. United Nations World Health Organization says for non-spore bacterial, they'd like to see water treatments, they want to see greater than 2. So at least we met that, but we went way out to 60 minutes to do that, which is very long. EPA has looked at UVC light, and they're up to, they're looking at a range of 136,000 to 231,000 microwatts. To achieve a 3 log reduction, we did it with a 23 microwatt for 60 minutes. It comes out to 82,800 microwatt per square centimeter to get a 3.5 log time reduction. So it just took a long time to do this. If we use need to shorten this up. There are ones out there of 55 watts, and if we went out and put a 55 watt in there, we can shorten it up to about 5 minutes. So I have to stop. It's 8:30, and go on to the next speaker. Sorry, there's no time for questions.